very simple. As you're singing, remember just to see if you can keep your awareness in your body, just kind of feeling the vibrations of the sound in your throat. The wonderful thing about nigun, that it has no words, is that there's no conceptuality to it. We're going to add some words in a little while, but while we're doing it with no words, just use it as a presence meditation, as a place to rest your awareness. And it's nice because the vibration of the voice has a natural gravity, so it helps us to do that, helps presence by singing. So, a little bit more. Everybody, great to see you today. Welcome to folks on the live stream. Hello, welcome. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about the relationship between presence and planning for the future. Because it would seem that if we're emphasizing presence, which means that rather than the mind being active and imagining what is outside of the present so as to either navigate our way into the future or to bring up things from the past that feel unresolved, right? And instead of doing those things, which the mind normally and spontaneously does all the time, or to various degrees for different people and in different ways, the practice of presence is reeling the mind in, like you're, you know, like you cast out the line and you reel it in. So there's this reeling in, except the thing is that the line of the mind keeps casting itself out, goes out by itself. And then we notice, ah, there's the mind taking me into a whole dream, really. It's like a dream. And just like when you're in a dream, a dream when you're sleeping, and then you wake up and you realize, oh, that was just a dream. It doesn't have a substantial reality to it. But when you were in the dream, it seemed very real for the most part, unless you're having lucid dreaming. Right? Dreams seem very real when you're in them. And so in the same kind of way, when you reel your mind in from its tendency to be very active and to imagine all kinds of things that aren't actually present, then what you can experience in that presence is kind of like waking up from a dream, because you realize experientially that you don't have to hold all of the burden of that emotional stuff that was being generated by the mind. The mind goes and thinks and thinks and thinks, and then emotions start being generated in the body. Anxiety, worry, whatever, lots of different stuff. Those are just some of the worst ones. There's all kinds of them, right? So we reel in the mind, and it's kind of like waking up from a dream. And that's why it's called awakening. It's called spiritual awakening. Turns out that this week's Parsha is also about dreams and about waking up from dreams. And it says in the beginning, the Parsha is Miketz. Miketz means at the end, or from the end, literally. It says, Vayehi Miketz Shenatayim Yamim. At the end of 2 years, Yamim means days. It's usually translated to the day. What happened? Pharaoh had a dream. And it goes into Pharaoh's dream that it's a very disturbing dream he has. There's some cows that come out of the river, and they're very fat and robust, and they start grazing, and they're very healthy. They look really good. And then some emaciated, scrawny, unhealthy cows come out of the river and eat up the healthy ones, but they still look just as emaciated as before. And then it says, Vayikatz Paro, Pharaoh woke up. But the word for woke up is the same as the beginning when it says Miketz, which is ending. So the word it's using for awakening is ending, indicating that there is an end to the dream. Then he has another dream. It's basically the same kind of dream, but we have these ears of grain that are really healthy, and then the scorched, bad ears of grain eat up the good ears of grain. And as you probably know, eventually Yosef is brought in to interpret the dream. And what is it about? It's about planning for the future, right? It's about, hey, you're in this time of great abundance now, but it's not going to be that way forever. So plan for it. Store up the grain now so that when you get to the point where you have no more food, you will have food because you will have stored it up. You're acting with wisdom about the future, right? So what is this about presence versus planning for the future? and spiritual awakening, waking up from the dream. So one way to think of it is that is on a continuum. And on one side of the continuum is the opposite of presence. It's worrying about the future, not being connected with the present, because your mind is always projecting into the future, right? And then at the other end of the continuum is a rejection of the present, or a clinging to a certain kind of present. Because if we think about, why would we want to not plan for the future? What is it that prevents us from planning for the future? If you kind of look at it in yourself, I don't know if anybody has that problem. But these are two ends of the spectrum. On one hand, it's overly worrying about the future. And on the other hand, it's like days and months and years go by and you didn't do what you were supposed to do to plan for the future. Right? These are the two mistakes. They're both mistakes. It's one continuum, and we want to kind of get right in the middle. So on one hand, one side of the continuum is obsessing, worrying about the future, and on the other end of the continuum is I'm ignoring what I know I have to do to deal with what might come up in the future. So what is it that causes us to ignore it? It's clinging to a certain kind of present. Meaning, I don't want my present to be filled with whatever the tasks are and planning I have to do. I don't like doing that. I don't like the experience of that. And so therefore, I'm ignoring something. What am I ignoring? I'm ignoring the knowledge that it's not always a time of abundance. Right? We may be in a time of abundance now, but we know that everything is changing. So this is kind of hinted at the beginning of the Parsha too, because it says, Miketz Shenatayim Yamim, at the end of 2 years. And the word for year is Shana, which also means change. So it's indicating like everything is always changing, right? And it's shenatayim, it's 2 years. Why is it 2 years? Because here's the basic duality. There's now and there's later. That's the basic duality, right? And so to awaken, right, is to realize and to really accept that here we are in this moment, but this moment is constantly changing. And so we have a responsibility in this moment to do whatever we can to have wisdom and to plan for what's coming up. Not to hold on to a certain kind of experience we want to have that rejects that. At the same time, if we are obsessing and worrying about the future, then you're stuck in a pattern of never actually enjoying life. Right? Because you've projected with your mind fulfillment on the future. But that doesn't make any sense, of course, at all. So the idea is that we are arriving right now. What does it mean to arrive? It means that there's some incompleteness. You're like on a journey, you're going somewhere, and then you get there. So, but guess what? We're getting there right now. This is it. This is getting here. And this is, presence is about reversing that tendency of the mind to think that fulfillment is in the future. Fulfillment is never in the future. Fulfillment is inherent in who you are right now. But in order to feel that and know that experientially, the mind has to stop absorbing your consciousness into the dream. And that's what being present is all about. Seeing what your experience is in this moment and connecting with it. And in that connecting, in that being, is wholeness, is fulfillment, is peace. Yeah.
Well, question mark. But realizing present in the moment is always moving into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the clinging, the clinging, to follow the metaphor, is clinging to a situation in the past.
In a sense,
clinging
yeah.
Clinging to your awareness of what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a really good presence, I wanted to hang on to it for a while, that would be the same error as projecting to the future.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, so let's take that example that you just said. If, let's say we're gonna meditate in a few minutes, we're gonna go into silent meditation, and let's say it's the best meditation you ever had, and it should be. Kenny Hiratsan, everybody should have the best meditation today you've ever had. Okay, but then at some point the meditation part is over and we have to get up at 11:30 and everybody's gonna go on with their day, right? So at that point, there's a natural tendency to say, oh, I wanna hold on to it, right? And at that point, it's the past already, right? So to be in a state of presence that's really open, that's really fully present as opposed to having some kind of clinging to it, means that you're connecting with the way it is in this moment, but you're also not clinging, you're also understanding that this moment is constantly changing. And so to connect with this moment doesn't mean to connect with the idea of how this moment is, because the how it is going to change, and it's always changing.
So you're connecting with change.
Mm-hmm. Connecting with, yeah, exactly. And that's just openness. Openness to the way it's unfolding. But part of this moment is the understanding that you have a certain responsibility for how for steering yourself toward a certain future. Right? So if you are ignoring that, then again, that's a certain kind of clinging as well. It's a clinging to not wanting to have that responsibility. Perhaps, for example, when we're meditating, during the meditation, you're not doing some logistical thing to plan for the future. So then the meditation is over, then you got to go do something. Maybe you got to go shopping so you have food, right? That's a planning for the future. You go shopping, get some food, and then you have food in the house. So this is ultimately, it's about that when you really don't cling and you open to the present, that includes a certain amount of planning for the future, just naturally. But then on the other side of the continuum, if while we're sitting and meditating, you're thinking about when you're going to go and buy the food, as opposed to just allowing your awareness to rest on your breathing, then that's another kind of clinging, right? That's clinging to some idea of the future as opposed to resting in the now. So ultimately, it's about always resting in the now, but the now is always in movement. It's always changing. Does that make sense?
I find also, talking about clinging to the future, that thoughts will come up, as they do for everybody, about things that I know I need to do in the future because I consider them to be important. Difficult letting go of those at times and getting back to present or getting back to meditation. That we're doing, that continues to be a challenge for me. Sometimes I can do it, sometimes it's really difficult to, it goes back and forth, I'm present, go back to the future, present, go back to the future, so that just continues to be challenging for me at times.
Right, right, and that's totally normal, because that's, the more we, when we're little, we tend to be obsessed with the immediate future. Like, I want that thing now. It has to be that way now. But really, it doesn't mean now. It means in the immediate future. We say now, but if we were really connected to the now, we wouldn't be saying we want that thing. We would just be in the now. But as we get older and we realize, oh, we have to be more responsible than that. right? Then we tend to overemphasize that. So our consciousness gets absorbed more and more in the dream of the future. That's just very natural. So that's one of the bigger challenges of presence and meditation, is first of all, just to notice it. That's the most important thing. And to accept it, really non-judgmentally. Because again, if you don't accept it, if you think, oh God, there's my brain dragging me into the future, that's again a kind of rejection of the now. It's sort of a paradoxical thing, is that in order to relax the mind from its compulsive obsession with what is not present, you have to accept the compulsive obsession with that which is not present. But that's very different from just doing it. It's very, very different. Because once you accept it, there's this whole other dimension that comes into being. And that dimension is the dimension of your awareness. Your awareness is inherently always accepting whatever is, because it's just perceiving what is. So when you say it on purpose, and you can say it verbally if you want, or just in your mind or whatever, it's nice to talk yourself through it, actually. I think it's very helpful. Like, you notice your mind worrying about something, and just say to yourself, ah, there's the mind worrying about something. That's okay. That's what the mind does. Then guess what?
Back to the Future was a good movie.
Then guess what? When you say that, your mind isn't really worrying anymore. You have a little, it might be a little bit, there's a little memory of it, and then it kind of fades, and there's an emotional residue, and then that kind of fades. But once you say, oh, there's the mind worrying about it, then almost immediately it's like there was the mind worrying about it. That's okay, that's what the mind does. Here we are. Is that worry telling me something? Do I need to write something down? Right, maybe there's something I have to note. Maybe yes, maybe no. I have that take. I'm doing everything I can for that, and so I don't need to worry about that anymore. Or no, there is something to figure out. Okay, let me think about it, figure it out, decide what it is, and now back to presence.
Right, and I think that component that you just talked about needs to be there too sometimes.
Needs to what?
Needs to be there too. Do I need to take some? Do I need to write something?
Absolutely.
You know, or can I just sort of let it go, knowing that I will attend to it at some point in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very helpful to, when you're meditating at home, I think it's very helpful to have something to write down, because once you have the space, then insights will come, and some of those insights have to do with something that you want to do later and you don't want to forget it. So there's nothing wrong with that. So you write down, now you know you can, and then you can continue on with your 15 minutes or whatever it is. Yeah. Are you going to say something? Mm-hmm. It is.
I hear you because I forget every 5 minutes anyway, but that's interesting. What I was just going to say was, and there's probably books about this, I don't mean to teach us now, but one thing as you're speaking, in Jewish approach to the meditation, which is new to me, how do they speak about the brain versus the mind? Like, you're talking about thought.
Mm-hmm.
And is the mind telling the brain to quiet down? I mean, it's probably a big question I'm not articulating, but...
Okay, you're asking, you're kind of supposing two things, the mind and the brain, and is the mind telling the brain to quiet down?
Right.
Right, and how does...
The mind or the soul or whatever is, you know, something other than physical matter between the ears.
Mm-hmm. So can I use the word consciousness instead of mind? Okay, so consciousness is not a material thing, but it's obviously connected to a material thing, our brain, right? And what's the relationship with the two in calming down the thoughts? So that's great, a great beginning for inquiry, and I do want to just talk about it for a moment, and then we'll go into our meditation. So The main key to the whole thing is that you don't have to try to quiet down your mind or your brain, however you want to think of it. You don't have to try to stop thinking, right? The trying, there is a trying, but the trying isn't the stopping the thinking. The trying is noticing the thinking. Noticing the thinking. Because ordinarily our consciousness tends to be identified with thinking. We don't tend to feel like, here's my consciousness and here's my thinking as two separate things. We tend to experience it as one thing. There's just me and I'm thinking, right? But when you notice the thinking, when you say, oh, there's that thought, and there's this feeling, and there's my breathing. So it's about noticing. When you're get in the activity of noticing, then your sense of me naturally rises up out of your thinking, and the sense of me dwells within the awareness as opposed to the thinking, and then the thinking just naturally can quiet down itself. It's allowing the brain to quiet down. When we're identified with the thinking, then it's very difficult to, you can't really stop your own thinking because you are the thinking, right? And every time you think about stopping it, that's more thinking, right? And thinking, by the way, has movement to it. It has will, has direct. We think about stuff in order to discover something or figure something out or have a certain feeling or something like that. So when you're noticing everything, then you also are rising up out of the me that needs something, the me that's not satisfied, the me that feels unresolved or incomplete. The awareness itself, it does have a completeness to it. And you can feel that completeness the more you learn to just notice. So the key is just noticing what's there and allowing the mind to quiet on its own. Now it won't stop altogether. Of course, thoughts will come again, but that's the whole idea of returning just to seeing the mind do that and allowing it. And that relates also to the first thing you said, which when you said you were surprised that I suggested writing it down because you thought the idea was to let it go. The idea is to let it go. And if you write it down, that helps to let it go, because otherwise there might be this thought, uh-oh, am I going to forget about it? Right? So writing it down is a wonderful way to let it go. Oh, okay. I thought there was a rat in the... Yeah, it's the wind and some kind of branches or something. So I thought we could do as the chant today the line from Adon Olam, because it says, Vahu Haya, it was. Vahu Hove, it is. Vahu Yiye, and it will be. Okay? So our sense of the past, our sense of the future, it's all here in the present. There's only the present. And as far as the past is alive in any way, it's alive here in the present. As far as how we're going to move into the future, that's also in the present. So as we sing the words, V'hu haya, v'hu oveh, v'hu yeh, b'tifara is like in splendor or in glory. It's an invitation to just continuously open up to the fullness of your experience in this moment. Thoughts from the past come, okay, here they are. Just allowing them to be, here they are in the present. Thoughts in the future, what do I need to do, what's happening? They're all happening in the present. Haya hove yiye, okay? And it's all just part of the splendorous miracle of existence. Yeah, but tifara. This moment is a miracle. Vehu haya, vehu hove, vehu yeh. actually, I want to make sure everybody knows the words. So the first is Vahu Haya. Vahu Hove.
Vahu Hove.
Vahu Yiye.
Vahu Yiye.
Batifara.
Batifara.
Batifara means in splendor or something like that. Beauty, radiance. Also, you can add a little body movement too. We can go Vahu Haya, Vahu Hove, Vahu Yiye, Batifara, like this. Vahu Haya, Vahu Hove, Vahu Yiye, Batifara, Vahu. Within yourself to completely allow this moment to be as it is, to give permission to this moment to be as it is, not to stay as it is, but just to be as it is, as it becomes, as it changes, allowing reality to be as it is. And we'll chant Lecha, which is that offering of your permission for this moment to be as it is. Breathing in. Lecha. And now leaving your right hand on your heart, bringing left hand to your belly, and connecting with your body. So as this moment continuously changes, you anchor yourself in the nowness that doesn't change, in the frame and openness of the present within which the change is happening. And we do that by anchoring awareness, or nestling awareness, in your body. So allowing your awareness to flow down into your hips and down into your thighs and knees and calves and feet and toes. And feeling your belly and your lower back. Feeling up into your lungs and your heart. Your neck and your shoulders. Releasing excess tension, but just having enough strength and tension in your muscles to be awake and upright, as opposed to allowing yourself to fall over asleep. And feeling down into your arms and elbows, forearms and hands and fingers. And upward into your face and your brain, skull, nervous system, bringing a little smile to your lips to express this basic benevolent attitude of accepting the way reality is unfolding. And we'll express this with Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. Bringing right hand to lightly touch your forehead with your fingers. So left hand on your belly, right hand on your forehead. And noticing that the awareness that nestles in your body now, resting on the flow of your breathing, is also beyond your body. Your awareness hears the cars in the distance, senses the space around you. And the awareness itself is just an open, borderless field. And you are this openness, you are this field. Vinishma, breathing in. Vinishma. Kissing your fingers and relaxing your hands in your lap, however is comfortable. The fullness of the divine, the fullness of reality, of being, is wholly present now. Atahu, now is it, now is the divine. Atahu. 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 Mind to continue to vibrate silently with Atahu, awareness making its home in the body. Awareness resting and ever returning to the flow of the breathing. Awareness open, free, borderless. allowing whatever arises in your field of experience to arise and to fade. And we'll sit for 15 minutes. Thank you. Right hand on your heart, offering permission to this moment to be as it is with Lecha, breathing in. Lecha. And left hand coming to the belly, letting your awareness dwell deep in your body, resting on the flow of your breathing with Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. And right hand touching forehead, aware of the open space of presence, boundless field of awareness, Vinishma, breathing in. Benishma. Amen. Ose shalom b'mramav. Hu yase shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'al kol yoshvei tevel v'imru. Amen. And something new. If anybody is in need of healing, you can either say with me if you know, or just receive the prayer of healing. Yehi ratzon milfenecha Adonai Eloheinu ve'avoteinu ve'imoteinu she'tishlak meheru refuah shelema, refuat hanefesh, refuat haguf. May there be sent a complete healing of body and spirit. L'chole Yisrael, to all who are in need of healing in Israel, v'chole Yoshvei Tevel, and all who are in need of healing. Ken yehi ratzon, and we say amen, amen.
Amen.
So wonderful. Thank you so much for coming. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see those of you who can come on Sunday. It's an opportunity to meditate for longer periods, which of course is very very helpful. Short is good, very frequent throughout the day, even minute, 30 seconds, great. But that's greatly enhanced by sometimes spending some time in retreat, in this case, mini retreat. So we'll have 3 hours and we'll alternate between periods of silence and some periods of teaching and dialogue and periods of chanting. And we're going to particularly study a little bit on this, on a Hanukkah text, the Al HaNerot text, which means upon the lights, and it talks about the qualities, the sacred qualities of the lights. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. Be well. And thank you all who are tuning in. Have a wonderful week.
Have a safe journey.